This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. The NFL, obviously front and center yesterday, comes down to taking a piece of paper like this, folding it and sticking it in between in the Cowboys-Raiders game to see if that's a first down or not. It's pretty inventive. It's pretty genius. Hey, in our training sessions, if you're not sure, take a piece of paper and just fold it over and then stick it in. And, you know, we're a billion-dollar business, but, you know, this is what we're going to use. You know, you can go get these at Office Max and have them with you. What's a catch? What isn't a catch? The Steelers-Patriots yesterday, which, by the way, was very entertaining. Of the weekends of NFL football this year, many, many times I found myself saying, wow, this is low-grade dog food. Penalties, officials not knowing what to do, when to do, standing, kneeling, caliber of play, lack of star players. I could go on and on and on. It's pretty easy to bury the NFL. But even Saturday night, I was at a couple of Christmas events Saturday night, and the places I was attending did not have the NFL Network, so they were pissed that they couldn't see the Chiefs and the Chargers. Because there's such a thing as a DVR, you can watch it later. Watching some of the Lions game was actually somewhat entertaining. I found myself watching a lot of NFL football yesterday. The Cardinal game was not good. The Cardinal game was not entertaining. I don't know, when you're sitting there going on field goal after field goal after field goal and you're at nine quarters in of nothing but field goals, how's this happen? It's pretty simple when you look at it as a fan or if you look at it as someone who follows the league. I don't have to fly across country and sit in a stadium to watch J.J. Nelson drop footballs every week. I just don't. It's kind of funny how that works. I don't have to walk into a locker room and have players say, man, it's tough. It's tough. We're going to keep fighting. And getting done with their 15 minutes of media availability and then get on a plane and fly all the way back cross country to say, you know, the players yesterday said it was a tough loss. Got it. The thing about this Cardinals team that when I watch them each week, it's all of a sudden Phil Dawson goes from being the worst player, the worst kicker, replace him, get him out of here, to the last 2 weeks he's been the MVP and they split two games. And that's never a good sign. If I'm even bringing Phil Dawson up in the show, it's not a good sign. No offense to kickers. You just want them to go out and do their thing and get out of the way. It's great to have Greg Zuerlein every week kill it and crush it, and I have him on my fantasy team. It's not great when all Phil Dawson is doing is going out and kicking field goal after field goal after field goal. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now. Guys, got to protect what matters most. You know this. You got to step your game up, protect what matters most with life insurance for your family. Have you done that? You may be killing it and crushing it in business, but in your personal life, do you have your life insurance together? If something were to happen to you today, do you have it figured out? Sagicor Now, get your free quote online at SagicorNow.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Protect what matters most. That is Sagicor. We are self-funded. It means without people like Sagicor, I don't do this. And for 6 years, people have been self-funding us because they believe in what we do. So we appreciate all those who sponsor what we do. And those are even considering doing it or those that want to get involved. It's great. We do this every day, Monday through Friday. We are on a couple of platforms here on Sports360AZ.com. Also, those of you watching us over on AZ Central, we appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona every week, and that airs Tuesdays through Thursdays on FSAZ. All right, so some of the numbers yesterday that I'll get to with the Cardinals. We're going to talk about Herm Edwards at 10:35 because I think it's time. I have a recruiting story that's pretty interesting of how Herm Edwards handled himself in a top-flight recruit's home last week. and how this top flight recruit explained it to me personally, what he saw out of Herm Edwards. Greg Biggins is going to be with us at 10:35. Greg has been on this show for years. Greg is someone that I have met and known for over 30 years. He's followed recruiting inside and out. He's the national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. So big Greg Biggins at 10:35. I'm going to ask him specifically, what is the view on the recruiting trail of Herm Edwards? What is it that you're hearing about Herm Edwards in Holmes and how he's handling himself? Because the predictable question is, how is ASU doing in recruiting? And here's the answer, not good. Letter of intent day, the first round, is this coming Wednesday. They're trying to keep their class together. I don't know if they can. They're trying to flip a high-end quarterback from Texas to here, whose brother is already on ASU's team. So there's plenty to get to on the recruiting front with Greg Biggins. I'm also going to talk to him about U of A and how Rich Rod, in a state of stability in Tucson, who would have thought that a year ago, how he's doing, the recruitment and the play of Khalil Tate, how that has opened doors or not opened doors to players coming in. Brandon Dawkins, a fifth-year senior considering transferring from the U of A. How does that factor into U of A's recruitment of quarterbacks and players that are holding off? Jordan's going to get involved in this discussion as well. In fact, Jordan's in today for Eric. What is it you want to talk to Greg about on the recruiting front?
I just want to cover the in-state recruits and who may be signing early and kind of what the theme of this class is. Because last year you had the Austin Jacksons, you had the Isaiah Polamalu's, the headliners, and really this class there were kind of a lot of late developers in terms of Tyler Shuck and Mateo Mele, Dom Hampton, all very good players, all going to very good programs, but they weren't the guys that were picking up the offers left and right as sophomores. It was usually that summer right before their senior year.
Okay, so you follow this every day with Jason Jewell. Mm-hmm. You and Jason host the recruiting roundup on the site. You host it on the TV show. From your view, is this a good year in state with letter of intent day now 48 hours away? Is this a good class in state this year from your view?
I think it's deceptively good. Like I said, I think at the beginning of the cycle, you really didn't know who those top flight guys were, but quite a few really emerged. And I think that might have been the depth from last year's class that really kind of handcuffed this year's class. But mm-hmm. once guys took the field, you had guys like Drake Anderson, who was injured. He's now picking up offers, was great over at Chandler High School. But you've kind of seen those guys really take off, especially as of late.
All right. So you're looking forward to this interview, right?
Yeah, of course.
You're not going to screw it up,
are you?
No,
Greg's a great guy.
I might screw it up, but you're not going to screw it up.
Yeah.
All right. It's Jordan, so he's going to jump in there in a bit. We're going to talk ASU and U of A basketball in about 10 minutes, and you'll hear from Bobby Hurley what the weekend looked like. I watched almost all the U of A game. You're thinking, man, you watch a lot of sports. You watch all this NFL. You watch a lot of college basketball. I have a DVR and I have a fast switch, so I can watch a ton of stuff. And the U of A New Mexico game was over on CBS Sportsnet on Saturday night. And I just want to watch DeAndre Ayton. The more I watch DeAndre Ayton, the more that I'm convinced the Suns just need to start tanking now. And maybe they are. They're just that bad. Why do you win games at Minnesota? What's the point? What is the point in winning a game in Minnesota, just like Lonzo Ball last year, who they should have drafted instead of Josh Jackson, but they weren't in a position because they won just a few too many games? Same thing is going to apply here. It is. We can all see it in December. So lose. Go into tankapalooza mode. I sat with my entire family on Friday night and watched the end of the 76ers or Sixers, I'd say, the Sixers game against the Thunder that went triple overtime. We were all yelling and screaming, and we were totally into it. It was great. It was great drama. But when you look at how the Sixers went about it, with Joel Embiid and the rest of the team that they've put together, that's what they've got to do here in Phoenix. They just can't seem to figure it out. So it was a busy, busy weekend. But the ASU game, to me, was a highlight in one sense. On the other sense, I'm seeing U of A start to figure it out and put some things together. So we'll get into that on the other side. And then we'll have Greg Biggins coming up at the bottom of the hour. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. More on the Cardinals, too, after this timeout. All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll switch gears over to Arizona State and Arizona football recruiting. Letter of intent day is just 48 hours away. The clock is ticking, and I think there's going to be mass chaos I think there's going to be frustration. I think there's going to be disappointment. I talked to a bunch of people, assistant coaches around the Pac-12 and a couple of other places over the weekend, and they're not expecting this Wednesday to go very well. It's the first time that they've ever had early signing day on December 20th, and so far it looks like it's going to be a cluster, and that's the only way to put it, all right? And we'll do that with Greg Biggins on a national scale of how is Herm Edwards within the homes that he is recruiting players? How does he come across? I spoke to one high-level recruit. He gave me a little bit of background on how Herm came across and also Rich Rod and how his class is coming together. That comes up in about 15 minutes. But now, so the poll is out for this week in college basketball. It's kind of fun, actually, to see the poll come down and to take a look at where Arizona State and Arizona are ranked. It's kind of fun. And the Sun Devils came in ranked third. So all the way up to number three now in the nation. And Villanova's number one. The Wildcats get 45 of the 65 first place votes. Michigan State stayed at number two, 15 first place votes. And Arizona State received the final five number one votes. So there's five voters. And I will have that in front of me, hopefully by the end of show, they release who votes them number one. Last week, it was a writer. There's 25 guys that wrote, that vote rather. 25 guys that vote every week. One of them is Doug Howler right here in Arizona with AZ Central. Dick Vitale is one of them. Last week, Dick voted ASU number seven. There was a writer last week with the Jackson Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, of all places, that voted Arizona State number one. This week, five people voted ASU number one. So I'm going to get that maybe before the show is done. U of A came in ranked 18th. Here's the thing about yesterday's game. And I was texting with some buddies that were at the game and just some ASU fans. And the buzz around ASU is it's fun because the program has been so bad and so just nobody cares for so long. And I was watching the game yesterday with Darren Sutton and Eddie House, taking it all in. The way that the team played yesterday, to me, was more impressive on some level than most any other game outside of the Kansas game because they finally faced adversity. If you don't face adversity, it doesn't matter what you do. This is not motivation speech talk. It's just fact. It doesn't matter if it's sports or business. If it's too easy, then you're really not pushing yourself that hard. You have to go through adversity. You have to go through the bumps and bruises. You have to get your knees skinned up. You have to go through a place where you are flat, which Arizona State was yesterday. And it makes perfect sense. It's a week of everybody telling you, you are the greatest, man. You are awesome. You are amazing. This is so much fun. Guard you. Let's do this interview. Let's do that interview. Yeah, you have Vanderbilt coming into town. What do you know about Vanderbilt? Well, they're not Kansas. What do you know about Vanderbilt? Not much. They're an SEC team. You're playing Sunday at noon. Most people are at church or getting out of church. So the simple thought during the week, which I think is lazy, whenever we get into how many people showed up at a sporting event, gauges whether there's interest or not, that's lazy. It just is. You know, in this day and age, how many people were watching here on the game yesterday? You don't have to go to games anymore. It's on the Pac-12 network, so already throw that metric out. How many people watch? Well, you can't get it. So throw that metric out the window. There's just a simple buzz around town. It doesn't matter how many people are tweeting about it on Twitter, if it's trending or not. Sunday midday, a week before Christmas, there's not going to be a whole lot of people. But, however, as I'm watching it and talking to friends that are there and people that are there and people with the program, and I'm asking them, how's the atmosphere? What's it like there? Yeah, there was buzz, but there's not been anything around ASU for 20 years outside of the occasional game. The litmus test goes game by game. Like tomorrow night against Longwood, do you think that game's going to be sold out? No. Does that mean there's not interest? No, it's just it's a game. Friday, they play at 1 in the afternoon against Pacific. I'm going to go because it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. Why not? Right before Christmas. And it's Pacific. Okay, it's not Eastern, it's not Northern, it's not Southern, it's Pacific. I got to have some fun with this stuff. The whole thing on this is my buildup, my take on all of it yesterday was I want to see their inside game. I have to see them get better inside. I don't need to see what the guards can do because I know what the guards can do. This is all about developing games in December. So Mickey Mitchell comes back in. His guy's been sitting out since he left Ohio State. And it's not like he comes back in immediately. It clicks. Last week against Kansas, he played just a little bit. Get him on the floor. Get his blood flowing. Get him running up and down the floor. Yesterday, he came in and he made an impact. Because this is all leading up, guys, to December 30th at the U of A. And now that they moved up to three, and all it takes is Villanova or Michigan State to lose a game or two, and all or just a game, ASU's going to beat Longwood. If they don't beat Longwood, I don't know. I'll do the show here with nothing on. We don't want to see that. No, it's on tape. I will. I'll just roll in here. I'll strip down and do it. What do you think, Jordan?
Doug Tamaro got bit already.
I know.
On making big claims.
Yeah, but that was
ASU
Kansas
basketball.
That was Kansas.
I know, but just for my eyes, I'm just hoping that.
Yeah,
ASU
they better win.
Puts up 200 on them.
That's right. I'm not even putting a lineup on them. They should be Pacific. I don't know if they don't be Pacific. I'll sit outside on Christmas morning and not go through presents. I'll do something. I'll eat 10 dozen Bosa donuts. I'll do something.
Just keep your clothes on.
Keep my clothes on. I'll stack a pyramid of rock and refuel and just drink them all as the game is going, as the show's going. I'll do something. They're going to beat Longwood. They're going to beat Pacific. U of A, I hope they beat North Dakota State tonight. I hope they beat UConn they have later this week. I want, as U of A is now up to 18, and I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't. I teach over at Cronkite, but it's not like I have a diploma from Arizona State. I don't have any piece of paper from U of A. I don't care. I want what's best for our state. What's best for our state is number one or number two or number three against about number 10. And that's coming December 30th in Tucson. I have friends that are going to be gone for the holidays, and now they're like, oh, wow, I got to find a way to check that game out. Yeah, you do. You do. Here's Bobby Hurley after winning yesterday's game. It wasn't a piece of art. It wasn't a piece of dung either. It was a win. They had to come through adversity. So here is Coach Hurley after yesterday's game to Sports 360 and the group that was there.
An amazement of what these guys do, because I really all week was very stressed about this game because I don't like waiting 7 days to play after we just had the game we played. I'd prefer to play sooner and also just the additional weight that we're carrying now. We're we have a bullseye on our back now, and teams are gonna look at us differently than they have in the past. And certainly, as hard as Vanderbilt played, and some of the adjustments that they made, and Bryce Drew is a very good coach, and they had a good plan, had his team ready to play, and played us extremely hard. So, but yeah, I mean, it's something. It's something to be a part of. I felt the energy from the crowd, the enthusiasm in this area.
So there's a coach. What I like about Bobby Hurley is he's just a coach. He's just a badass in my mind. Yeah, he's toned it down some from when he first got here. I think Ray needed to see him tone it down, dial it back a tad, but he's still fired up. There were some horrific missed calls early in the game yesterday, and his team wasn't playing well yesterday. They're getting shut out by Vanderbilt, national stage. It's a good thing it wasn't on CBS or ESPN where people were actually watching. So 10-0 for the first time in the history of the program. They shot 50% from the floor in the second half of the game, but they got better defensively. Because I'm telling you, if you have not watched DeAndre Ayton yet, you can hate U of A all you want. If you're just a fan of basketball, Bill Walton said this the other day after ASU won the game at Kansas. He did the game. And some people take Bill with a big grain of salt. They just think he shouldn't be there. I think Bill's very entertaining. Bill's a friend. Known Bill a long time. We broadcast together back in the day. I was his first play-by-play guy. True story. And so I take what Bill says, and I love Bill to death when he says that Arizona has a more talented roster than Arizona State, which is what he said. Go look at the tape. It's not a shot. DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier and Raleigh Alkins. Barcelo didn't even play the other night because he had a sprained ankle at New Mexico. Dane Kuyper went crazy in that game, former Corona del Sol player. But I do think there's going to be a big question mark about ASU having to go to Tucson, where it'll be 95% U of A red and blue. It's a Saturday night. It's the same day as the Fiesta Bowl. Too bad for the Fiesta Bowl. I'm not going to the Fiesta Bowl. I am going to Tucson. I am going to watch this game. There'll be dozens of NBA people there to watch this matchup. Because you look at the guards at Arizona State, they're going to keep playing. They are. And it may not be in the NBA, or it may be in the NBA. A guy like Cody Justice is going to have a nice career somewhere, some places. He's going to be one of those guys, I think, that can go get two or three NBA contracts. You know, it's kind of like watching McConnell with the 76ers, or the Sixers, sorry. And who would have thought that he'd be having the run that he's having in the NBA? He was supposed to be done playing for the U of A and then move on and be a coach somewhere. And he's going to get two, three NBA contracts out of the deal. Same thing's going to happen with Trey Holder and Shannon Evans. All right, ASU football, what is Herm Edwards like in Holmes? Next on A National View from one of the best in the business nationally, Greg Biggins, the national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. What does he make out of U of A's class, ASU's class? Letter of Intent Day is 48 hours away. It's big on the football end. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, with Letter of Intent Day now coming up on Wednesday, this is the first time that we have ever had this. We've spoken about it at great lengths over the last, I'd say, 8-9 months since this came out, wondering if this was going to be well-received or if this was going to be a train wreck. And I'd say it's a little bit of both, more on the lines of train wreck today. 48 hours before football commits, sign with their colleges. Are they going to follow through? Are they going to hold back to get a view of how Herm Edwards is doing within Holmes? And also Rich Rod as well. Greg Biggins is with us. Greg is someone I've had on the show for 30-plus years, wherever I've stopped in. National recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. Jordan's going to jump in on this as well. Greg, thanks for being on board. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we let anybody on the air here at the show, and we let anybody host. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so let's get into this. The letter of intent day on Wednesday. Is this going to go well? Is this going to be a cluster? What is your view of this first ever December 20th signing date, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way you said it was pretty accurate. I would kind of lean toward more train wreck as well. You know, I think just ballparking it, I would say maybe of a school's, in no school in particular, they're, you know, say they have 15 commits. I bet about half of the guys will sign early. A few guys are still taking visits. A few just don't want to do it. I think where things get interesting, I've already seen a couple schools basically force players to decommit because they're saying, hey, if you won't sign right now with us, then we can't guarantee you your spot will be open in February. So you might want to look around. And it's almost like the early signing period is now almost forcing, you know, some of these schools and players to kind of really be real with each other and say, hey, are you in or out? You know, before, kids would be committed and wait, and then at the last minute they would flip. I think the one maybe benefit from a school standpoint is that I think it helps them to kind of see if the kid is really sincerely committed or not. It's those mid-level schools, you know, and not to insult anybody, but, you know, your Fresno State's done that with a few kids. Mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, even like in Idaho, a San Diego State, they're kind of doing it where, hey, we can't afford to have you kind of, you know, play us, be committed, and at the last minute, you know, go somewhere else. We didn't know right now, so we have time to go find another backup option. So I think Wednesday is going to be kind of fascinating to see how many of these guys actually do follow through and sign. Of those guys that are committed that don't sign, how many of those will eventually sign in February if the school kind of says, you know what, you're out.
Well, and I think, too, when you look at just the pressure being put on 17, 18-year-olds, you've seen this too, Jordan, I'm mm-hmm. sure. It's unfortunate that this is how they're going to go about it. Rich Rod has maintained there shouldn't be a signing date, that when a kid is ready to sign after his junior year, that's the way to go. Do you subscribe to that theory, Greg, and maybe that's where this is heading?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with that. I think, you know, I would say I think everybody likes to have a nice big, you know, signing day just for the whole festivities of it. I personally, as a parent, don't like the idea. You mentioned the pressure. You know, I think if you're a kid, it is tough because right now, what do you gain really by signing?
Right.
I guarantee you, once these bowl games are done, you're going to see a ton of coaches bailing. So now you just signed to a school You don't know who your position coach is going to be. A new guy comes in, and what if you're not his guy? People don't understand. Yeah, they always say you don't sign for the coach, you sign for the school. This is a relationship business, and it's all about building that bond with a coach, knowing that you're going to be his guy. And sure, he might not be there for 4 years, but at least I know I'm going to be coached by the guy who I built this relationship with. But a new guy comes in, he might want a completely different player. Now you're a guy who's, you know, kind of left in the dark, basically. People don't really get that. A new coach comes in, he wants his own style of player. He wants his own guy. And people, they're going to play the best guys. They don't always play the best guys. They play their guys. So that's why, you know, there's the opportunities that come about between December and February when all of a sudden you see kind of the mid-level players maybe get a better offer than they have right now.
Right.
So I think if you sign early, number one, you risk playing for a coach who didn't recruit you. And also you miss that potential to maybe get recruited by a few more schools that might be better fits for you. So I think if you're the guy who can play for any school in the country and you like the school, go ahead and sign. You know, I had no problem with that. But a lot of kids aren't in that boat. So I think you kind of almost cut off his hand and you kind of miss out on opportunities by allowing or even forcing these guys to sign in December.
Greg, when you look at the 2017 class last year in the state of Arizona, it was really defined by the two guys up top with Austin Jackson and Isaiah Polamalu, the guys that have been picking up offers since their freshman and sophomore year, and then all those guys that signed with ASU. When you look at this in-state 2018 class, how would you define it, like a theme of this class?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. Gosh, I don't know if there is a theme. I think I like the depth. I don't know if there's that guy, you know, in Austin Jackson, who for me was one of the better tackles that I've seen. So I don't know if there's that star power necessarily. I think it's a quality depth class, but I don't know if it has the guys at the top of the board that necessarily, you know, maybe wow you. Just maybe more of a depth type of class.
Mm-hmm. When we were both at the opening and we saw firsthand what Tyler Shuck could do, just how have you seen him progress and seen his kind of recruitment just explode in the last 9 months?
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, he went from, you know, kind of a regional guy, which means you're going to be offered by schools in your own region, to, you know, a national guy. But I think what Bama offered at one point, right? And there was, mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of Bama offers you, you're pretty dang good at football. So I think with Tyler, he became everyone's top guy, not just a few schools. And obviously, you know, Oregon, it looks really solid with that. I think ASU tried to get in there last minute, you know, once Willie Taggart left for FSU. But I think he's really solid with Oregon. So it's been fun. You know, it's been fun to see him progress. And obviously, he's a guy who's got a lot of upside, real long, lean kid. He's going to need to put some weight on. But, man, he can throw the football. He's got a lot of ability. He's smart, and he knows what he's doing. So I think with Tyler, you know, I think he's probably our number one guy in-state. Solomon Enos is probably right there as well, and probably the top uncommitted in-state guy. So still curious what's going to happen with him, whether it be an in-state school, whether it be a USC, whether it be a Penn State. So, but no, Tyler, man, he can play. It's been fun to watch him develop for sure.
Talking with Greg Biggins, national recruiting analyst, 24/7 Sports with us on the show. Let's go through Herm Edwards from this standpoint. How has he been in recruits' homes, A? B, is this a train wreck class, or do you think they're going to rally? Two-part question.
He's been really good at home, as you would expect, right? I mean, you listen to him speak at a press conference for 3 seconds, and you know the guy's going to kill it in a in-home visit. I mean, the guy, everything he says is kind of motivational. I joked around last week. I go, you know, him and Ray Lewis, I was like, can they talk in a normal voice, or is there a normal, like, hey, can you pass the milk? Does it always sound like it's, you know, like you're trying to, you know, get 1,000 guys ready to go fight a battle? He just has a way, I think, of motivating people. Even this past weekend, you know, obviously they had about 6 to 8 kids officially visiting, mostly committed players, a few non-committed guys, but everyone was just, man, they're pumped up to play for the guy. You know, I think he does that. So that was never going to be the question. You know, the question was, can he put together a, you know, a staff, you know, game planning, coaching, all that stuff. You know, how is that all going to happen after he's been out of coaching for such a long time? And in terms of recruiting, he should do really well. Second question about the recruiting class. I think they can salvage it. I think the guys they have are pretty quality. You know, they just got to put together a staff. Obviously, having the DOC and the DC, that was a huge blow, because that was the whole issue, or part of the deal with trying to bring Herm in. was, hey, we have already have our built-in coordinators. We want you to just kind of come and manage and run the team like a business. And you see your OC and DC leave within a couple of weeks. That was huge. So they got to make a quick hire. Obviously, they did on the offensive coordinator spot. They needed DC. I've heard some names on potential position coaches that I think will be good, especially recruiting out here in Southern California. Can't give away too much more than that. But I think they can definitely rally. I think there's going to be a lot of players left on the board for them to go and take. And there's no reason why they can't go and battle and get a lot of these guys that are still out there. You know, obviously, I always say in Southern California, USC always will have that first choice. Then usually probably Stanford, UCLA, Washington, but there's no reason why they can't win those battles with it. Just about every other school that's recruiting out in California, they're going to hit Texas hard. Obviously, they want to keep the players in state as well. So plenty of time for them to go still fill that class with some quality football players.
Okay, let me throw a couple names at you, Greg, and just give me an update on them. Cameron Rising, they're trying to get him to flip, the quarterback who's committed to Texas. What do you hear on that front?
Yeah, interesting, because you know he's been kind of rumored to flip about three or four different times. In fact, we thought he was going to flip to Oregon before Tyler took that offer from them. So I haven't heard yet if he's going to take a visit. I know they're trying with Jamari Joyner still, mm-hmm. and that's kind of their main guy right now. I haven't heard if Jamari's going to sign on Wednesday. You guys might have heard that before.
Jordan,
I haven't heard it. Well,
what are you hearing, Jordan?
Yeah, I heard that it was a parent decision, and he's going to wait till February.
Okay. For me, that's smart. If I'm a parent, I'm making my kid wait. You know, I think it's a good move. But as far as Rising, I haven't heard if he's taking that visit or not. I would say there's a definite possibility because I don't know if he's completely married to Texas right now.
Okay. And then the two kids from Texas that played in the state semis this weekend, Matthias and Sturgis from Katie and Allen, respectively, they're going to be able to keep them. It looks to me, sounds to me like you're closer to that situation. What do you make out of those players? Have you seen enough, heard enough about them?
Yeah, I do think they keep them. I like Brock a lot. I think he's definitely a quality running back, and I think they want to bring in at least two, if not three, running backs. You know, one of them is Beakers Flowers from out here. St. John Bosco's had a couple of shoulder surgeries, so he might not even be able to enroll in time. So I think Sturgis is a guy that they need. They like him a lot. He's kind of a power back who can run, and so I think he fits the scheme. And I think he, I haven't heard it otherwise. I think he's definitely going to probably sign on Wednesday.
And then U of A, Rich Rod's class. Everything is in this state's been focused on Herm and losing coordinators, the hire, criticism of Ray, yada yada yada. I think that stuff's going to play itself out personally. You, Rich Rod, in the overview of his class to this point, and what you expect on Wednesday, Greg.
I think the majority of his guys sound like they're going to sign. And you know, obviously, I think he was pretty adamant about them signing. I think he, if I'm a coach, I want my guys that are committed to sign, right? I mean, if you're not going to sign, it's almost kind of like, okay, you must be looking for something better. So I think we've already talked about Joyner. Everybody else that I've heard, maybe Adam Plant, who might be the best player in the class. He had a really good year at Bishop Gorman this past year, kind of elevated his stock. And he is the guy, you guys probably know his story, committed, then he decommitted. You don't really see it too often where a kid commits, decommits, and then recommits to that same school. Mm-hmm. But he went ahead and did that. I heard he might not sign on Wednesday. He might want to still go through the process a little bit more, which that's got to annoy you if you're a staff, because he's a kid who's already decommitted from you once. So everybody else I've heard, Javon Hill had a really good year this past year at safety, Isaiah Johnson, Nahe Zulonga. I think all those guys, Thomas Marcus, who I really love, this kid from San Diego, athlete, 6'5", kid who can really run and jump. I think he's a sleeper in that class and a guy who we're going to really be moving up in our next rankings. The one guy I would say to watch out for, only because he's kind of hot the presses, the running back Martell Irby was offered by Chip Kelly and UCLA last night. So he was going to sign on Wednesday. He was pretty adamant about that. But I think that offer from UCLA might give him a little bit something to think about. So I haven't heard if he's still going to go ahead and sign or if he wants to wait. Obviously, with the dead period, he can't take a visit between now and signing day or signing period. So I think he might be a guy to watch, Martell Irby. But everybody else, I think, looks pretty good for them to go ahead and lock in on Wednesday or sometime this week at least.
When you look at a guy in state like Brock Purdy, who's been just uber productive on the field, racking up the postseason awards, but is having a pretty slow recruitment, how do you think this early signing day will affect those types of players?
So those types of players will benefit. And again, I've been pretty against the whole early signing period, at least the way it's set up right now. I think December, February is too close. I would do it maybe in the summer. I think a kid like Brock, though, this definitely helps, because what happens is, you know, you're going to see kids who either sign, or players who, like I said before, maybe they're committed but don't want to sign. It's going to give the schools kind of a little feeling of, I need to go look around some more. And then you have a guy like Brock right there who's been, like you mentioned, so productive, not just this year. I know he put up video game numbers this year, but last year he had a great year too.
Right.
Saw him in Vegas, and he killed it in 7-on-7. Obviously, he kills it in the pass. Got a little, a little Doug Flutie in the way he can run around. I like the way he throws the football. I'm not sure why he's so undervalued and under-recruited by just about everybody. But I think he's a guy who, once all these colleges kind of can see that they have a need for a quarterback and maybe they miss out on guys, they could circle back on Brock. I think he could benefit from that. And all of a sudden, those offers he has right now, which I think are just a couple of kind of low to mid-majors, all of a sudden I could see him getting, a few FBS offers. And I think he's definitely deserving for sure.
Greg, would you recommend to him, if you're talking to him one-on-one, to take these preferred walk-ons at Arizona State or Alabama, or to wait?
Oh, that's a tough question. I guess the two options would be take the preferred walk-on or go to a JC for a year. And we always mm-hmm. see players go to a JC, and all of a sudden their stock just blows up, whether it be a quarterback, a running back, a lineman. Guys that were just, really recruited, low level as a senior, all of a sudden now they're having 20 BCS offers the following year. It's JC players are always sought after just because they had that year of experience, because I think people can see the film a little bit more and they're more believable. So I would not be able to give Brock advice without knowing his whole family situation and what they want to do in terms of, do they want to wait out a year? Do they have a dream school? Do they believe in themselves enough to go to an Alabama, take that preferred walk-on? Is he going to play there? Every year Bama's going to recruit a top five, a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
And so even if Brock is good enough, man, again, you talk about not always the best guy plays at a school like Bama, it's going to be very tough for them to play a walk-on over these guys that are 4- and 5-star guys. So, yeah, do you have that belief in you that you want to go try to beat out, Tua Tagovailoa? Or do you want to maybe go to a JC and then get an offer from schools, like a Texas Tech, like a UNLV, like a Houston, schools that recruit JC quarterbacks pretty heavily, like a Baylor. Shoot, maybe one of the in-state schools. What if Arizona loses Jabari Joyner? Do they look at Brock Purdy? Or ASU even, right? I think he fits the U of A system really well with what Rich Rod likes to do with a running quarterback. So if I'm him, I might advise against the Alabamas of the world, unless you really want to play for a school with such much, that kind of a big time football program, and maybe, go to a JC for a year. You can get out in the spring. You got your, 4 to play 3. Give yourself a chance. That might be what I would advise.
Yeah. It's like Bryce Perkins going to Virginia. He goes to Arizona Western CC and he goes and plays for a year. And I think that's really smart advice, because the people that undervalue community colleges or scoff at it, they really don't know what they're talking about at this space, and then you can go actually have a better run by going JC. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're there for 6 months. You're not going to get your, AA degree. 6 months, you're in and out.
Good stuff. Hey, I know you're busy. We'll let you go off that. Thanks so much for your time, Greg. Good stuff as always.
Anytime. Thanks, fellas. Jordan, good talking to you, buddy. We'll talk to you guys soon.
There's Greg Biggins with us. Always good to catch up with Greg. We'll take a break here. More on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. We are self-funded. We appreciate those who support us. Back after this timeout. All right, before we get out of here, the news cycle today is going to go in a direction of Kobe Bryant. Tonight, Kobe is going to have both of his jerseys, number 8 and number 24. And you may hate Kobe Bryant all you want because you're in Phoenix and you're a Suns fan, or statewide, or wherever you're watching us around the world. I love Kobe Bryant. It's very simple. Sports needs villains. Sports has always needed villains. If there's no villains, there's no fun, okay? Kobe Bryant, when he would walk into downtown Phoenix, he was the villain, and you hated him, and you didn't marvel at him as much as, say, if you were a Laker fan. If you're a basketball fan, you love seeing Kobe Bryant in person. I loved it. Always look forward to having Kobe come here. The NBA, it's great. They make players available to you. If I want to go get Carson Palmer, I have to go out to the Cardinals once a week for like 5 minutes, or maybe in a locker room if I'm lucky. If Kobe Bryant rolled into town, I could go to shoot around in the morning at 10 a.m. and ask Kobe Bryant questions. I could go to the game beforehand, and if he was in his locker, if he was willing to talk, he's available then. And he's available afterwards. Three times a day, I could go get Kobe Bryant. I can go get LeBron James three times. But if I want to go get said NFL player, it's not as easy. Kobe, whenever he came into town, was really interesting. He loved talking about the Olympics. He loved talking about Jerry Colangelo and all of that and the Suns rivalry. And we all remember Rajah Bell and Kobe Bryant. Those of us have been here more than a nanosecond. So tonight, and I love what Steve Kerr is going to do tonight. I will watch this tonight, by the way. Lakers are at home against Golden State. It's on NBA TV. So you got to search a little bit to find it. But they're going to retire both number 8 and number 24. Steve Kerr has already said the Warriors are not going to go to the locker room at halftime. He said, why would we go to the locker room when we're going to see history? Kevin Durant wants to watch Kobe Bryant tonight get his jerseys retired. So this will be must-see TV for me tonight. And this will be what will lead outside of Monday Night Football. This will be what will lead on the sports news cycle today and tonight. It's not going to be the Suns in Dallas tonight, although they are playing tonight, and I don't know, I might find 20 seconds to watch them lose another game. They should try to lose. But that's what's going on tonight on the sports front. Jared Nielsen, as always, is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Jordan in for Eric today. Eric's on assignment. He's going to a cool story in the eastern part of the state today with Haley that they're working on. I'm really looking forward to see how that turns out for the TV show and also for the website. Plenty of content up on our website, sports360az.com. Check back early and often. We are self-funded. Appreciate those who support us through the year. And those that are considering supporting us, we always use support to make this thing happen. So without you, we don't make it work. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.